At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I am unashamed. What about you?
Well, I'm just back from Nashville. I like this time of year. We've welcomed a new addition.
You are for sure a grandfather.
I am a grandfather. Let's get you. Huh,
a grandfather.
They named
Jace,
the daughter Maris Caraway Robertson.
Miss Kay came in, and when she reported to me that your child was named after her, she bawled.
Oh, I know. Well, listen to this. So I got this, what do they call those dogs? Giant Pyrenees, Great Pyrenees.
Great Pyrenees.
But this, he's Great Pyrenees, but he is a giant. And so Brighton, my daughter-in-law, has the baby. Less than 24 hours later, they decided to come to our new place there in Tennessee for Thanksgiving.
24 hours.
Less than 24 hours, I thought.
You're talking about the mother is coming.
The mother is coming, I thought. Well, how is that possible? Because I was a part of three childbirths, and
I thought it was like getting sick for a while.
Well, my wife, she didn't go anywhere for 2 or 3 days.
Well, trust me, when I tell you, the first one, the only one that I actually watched burst forth from the loins of your mother... It was old Jeff. And when I saw that, I said, I would have taken me a month to be walking after what I saw.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worse than gutting a hog. I thought, good night.
Yeah.
How do these women do that? Because so I was thinking, I couldn't do that on a regular basis. And I don't know.
So we had cleared out.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, we had cleared out the driveway. But I saw my dog lurking, and I thought, well, I don't need, the worst thing that can happen is this dog bump into the mom or the baby. So I was getting the dog out in the pen, and he's a goat herder. So I'm getting him in a goat pen. So when I come in, they've already officially arrived. Well, I looked up, and Missy and Brighton are just tears are just, and I panicked because I thought,
They're bawling.
Something happened with the baby already.
Something's wrong.
What do we need to call 911? But they both couldn't talk. And I was like, what is wrong? And everybody was looking bewildered. And I thought, what? Because the baby looked fine. And I couldn't figure it out. And Missy said, it's the introduction. I said, the introduction
of what?
Of what? Well, she was introduced to Maris. Missy being introduced to Maris caused everyone to cry.
Because she hadn't met the baby this moment.
Yeah, until then. And they just...
Because I guess they wouldn't let you... Probably with the COVID protocols, they wouldn't let you in the hospital.
Yeah, you couldn't... They only had two people that could be with the mom, which is the mom's mom and the mom's husband. So everyone else was disqualified.
So were you there on the premises when the baby was born?
No, that's what I'm saying. You couldn't.
So you're, you
only the husband and the mom's could be at the hospital.
The grandfather.
But we were there.
The grandfather, you're out.
So less than 24 hours later, and look, she showed no signs. I hope this is not a critter. I'm digging something out of my beard for, what is that?
Cypress.
We've been duck hunting this morning. We had a pretty good hunt. What we kill? 16, 17.
16. I call that pretty fair.
It was pretty good. We have a new name. If we did videos, like we used to, we came up with a name. Zach, you ready?
I'm ready for it.
On One.
On One.
You know how the quarterback will go up and say on one? Because what keeps happening is ducks will come in and light, but it'll be so early that if you don't shoot them on the water, once they get up, you can't see them because of the backdrop. And so what we used to do when that happened is we would count to three. And on three, everyone would shoot. The problem is most of the people in the blind now can't hear. So this has happened about five times. But today I said, on three, ready? And I went one, and boom, a shot fired. And then they got up and we couldn't see them. So some more come in. I said, all right, on three. One, boom. Same thing. I think it was.
Who did the shooting?
I think Phil once and Cy twice. And so I said, why don't we just start shooting on one? But then everybody said it's hard because we don't know when you're going to say one.
Most people don't stoop so low as to shoot a duck sitting on the water anyway. Most of them say, well, that's unsportsmanlike conduct. But we've made an art form of it.
Do they taste any different?
No.
What's happening over
Phil
there, Jace?
Phil had a big sneeze. I did, but you know how your face looks different right before you sneeze. So when I said, "Do they taste any different?" Phil looked at me, and I thought, "What look is that?" But it was the pre-sneeze look.
Well, I'd like to know the medical term on what and how and why a sneeze is possible with animals and humans. A sneeze, you can't stop it. You're going to torque up and just...
No, look, my wife will not sneeze. When she feels it come on, she cinches everything down. Look,
because I tried.
Will not do it.
I tried.
And look, it comes out like... It's like
it's still a sneeze.
It's an audible noise. It's still a sneeze.
But a sneeze, the second once you sneeze, is an awesome feeling. It's a good feeling to go.
No, I like it. I mean, whatever.
Cy broke two ribs sneezing. Yeah. So it can be dangerous once you reach a certain age.
And that explains why you don't get but one shot when
he came in one day at the duck call shop and he was all wrapped up. And he said, "Well, boys, I broke two ribs." I said, "Now, do you get in a fight?" And he said, "No, I sneezed."
That can break ribs?
That's what he said.
Man. I'll tell you what. What I can't stand is when you're about to sneeze and then somebody cuts you off and distracts you and you don't do it. That's the worst feeling ever.
Yes,
I enjoy it. It's a relief.
I've tried to get Missy just to come out with it. I said, I live for the day.
Why doesn't she care to sneeze?
She thinks it's an embarrassment thing. She doesn't want.
That's why why does your body do that? Is it a good thing for your body?
I think it's there to remove unwanted guests in the germaphobe world.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. Should I look this up?
You know, somebody bound to pontificate on it. I don't know. I just always wondered what exactly, because a while ago when you asked me that question, a sneeze was coming on. I can't stop the train. I mean,
once it gets going, you can't stop. Well, you can stop it. If somebody gets in my way, like if Jill tries to distract me.
A lot of them kind of grunt right and they stop the sneeze and they go.
Nah.
All right, listen to this. Let it out. So when you sneeze, it could be an allergic reaction, a viral infection, a change in temperature, or a sudden bright light. Your nose becomes agitated. When this happens, your body does what it needs to do to get rid of the pesky irritant. It causes you to sneeze. Now, you think that just came from a collision somewhere and then life formed and you had this thing inside of you that would make you sneeze? I mean, all the detail. When you start looking at the details of life, There had to be.
That's my
a
point.
Designer.
That's my point. I mean, you know, how do you know, but you know, animals would do that. Dogs yeah. will sneeze. Well,
it's always funny.
Yeah, it's funny. We laugh. I mean, you know, Bobo sneezes, you know.
It shows me that the creator has a sense of humor. So anyway, back to the baby. So it was awesome. Everybody gave a little speech, and it was a lot of people were getting choked up. I mean, right and left. So I
mean, tears were flowing.
Tears were flowing. And
I
so,
don't remember that kind of response to any of you.
I think some of it's because of these coronavirus rules. Because no, usually the family is at the hospital. So now you have this one day waiting period where nobody can do anything, and the anticipation starts mounting, and you become, because I saw the roller coaster even with my wife. I mean, there was agitation, anxiousness, excitement, all the emotion, and we were putting on a Thanksgiving dinner. We were hosting the meal for both sides of the family.
So the kid was born on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, the day before.
The day before.
Which is easy to remember.
Yeah.
So we had
want to get in the way of the procedure when the woman, the water breaks and they go in and she's dilating.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to be standing around getting in the way at such a serious moment as a child coming forward. So I said, the best thing I can do is just stand. I'd be do more harm.
Well,
than good.
Somebody should.
I mean, what am I going to do? Stand there and say, wait a minute.
You're there.
Keep pushing. I mean,
you're there. Yeah, you're there for moral support.
I guess.
I mean, Missy's, she's like, hey.
I had softened by the time Jep got there. Miss Kay said, you ought to see, you would appreciate these kids more if you would see one being born. And
she was probably right.
And she talked me into it. And I did tell her from that moment on, my respect for womanhood and giving birth to children rose exponentially. I said, I never realized what a woman goes through to have a baby, but I said, I would never let that happen but once, but I'd be done with that. I said, no, I ain't going down that road again. But
no, it's pretty incredible.
It really is.
I mean, I saw all of mine born, and I will tell you this, that I had a weird sensation because you're right, it is kind of a gruesome sight, but you go from like almost like, whoa,
so you
what
admit
is this?
It was gruesome to watch, because that's the word, gruesome.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty brutal. But when the baby comes out and you're looking at all this, I mean, it's a spiritual experience. I mean, you're like, man, life just entered
into this
world.
I just didn't
want to
see my woman writhing in pain and me standing there with a grin on my face. I just said, I can't do it. I said, it's too serious a moment for me to even,
yeah.
You know, I just didn't want to get in the way but I watched her and I thought, how did the world?
That was probably your subconscious just trying to get you to, because it's quite the thing to watch.
It moved my compassion knob. It moved it a lot.
Well, that needed to happen.
I respect that all womanhood. I salute them worldwide.
Kay was right. So look, here's the funny part. You know, I had this name, and we did it on a podcast. I was going to be known as Rock, and I don't know if we ever come up with one for Missy. But then the day before, because I flew up there in a hurry, but the day before we were duck hunting, and we had something happen that has never happened before. We had pintail ducks. And I always go crazy every year about pintails. They usually don't get in our hole till January. But I always have it.
They're beautiful birds.
Beautiful. And I always have an anticipation on when will I shoot my first pintail. And once I shoot the first one, I feel like I'm at peace with the created world.
Yeah.
In my world. So, and I don't even think about it during the first split because we don't ever see them. So we get a bunch of shovelers, which are at the bottom of the food chain. They're called shovelers because they shovel mud for sustenance.
And they smell like that blue mud.
Like, yeah. So
stench,
we have some shovelers come across, and my heart's not in it, but everybody's getting ready because we hadn't shot many ducks, and we figured we could find somebody who would find a way to make them taste good, give them away. And so they come in, and right before we say kill them, Jay Stone says, shoot the pintails, which caused everybody to stop. You remember? You were there.
Oh, yeah.
I stopped and thought, where is there a pintail in this bunch of shovelers?
Because there were about 15 or 20 shovelers, and I didn't see the pintails.
I didn't either. So I look. But as I'm looking, they're drifting over the decoys, over onto my side, and I look at the lead duck. And it's a bull sprig. That's the slang name for a pintail. As pretty as I've ever seen. So I said, well, I'm fixed to kill that right there, right now. Raised up, boom. And there was actually three pintails in the group. And we got all three of them somehow or another. And a couple of shovelers. So I took that as a sign because then I got the word that the baby had been born. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to change my name from Rock, because they didn't like that, to Papa Sprig.
Papa Sprig.
Because I'm taking the, this has never happened. And so I put, they had a group chat updating everybody on the birth of the baby. We need to take a break.
All right, so Phil, how old are you now?
75.
75 years old. I don't think I know any man your age that works as hard as you do. I've never seen anybody work like that at your age. Do you have any pains?
Zero. Not one ache.
I know for a fact the only pill you take is the Omega XL. You've got 360 joints from your neck down to your vertebrae, and your back down to your arms, hips, knees, and feet. That's 360 joints that take a beating every single day that you get out there and work and age. And so that's where our friends Omega XL come into play because of the science. So when we're younger, our bodies produce a substance called SPMs, and they're nature's way of keeping your joints healthy. But as we age, we don't produce enough SPM, which is why we're in pain so often. Omega XL can restore your SPMs and rejuvenate joints and muscles so you can move like you did when you were young. You can move like Phil on his land when he works hard every day. Can your supplement do that? Here's what you need to do. Go to OmegaXL.com/Phil. That's OmegaXL.com/Phil. Or you can call 1-800-844-4888. That's 1-800-844-4888. If you order Omega XL, you'll get a second bottle for free with our code by visiting OmegaXL.com/Phil.
To tell you the truth, Zach, I'm amazed that I don't have any aches. Because I used to think 75, when I saw Paul, my dad, that he was old. But now, not so much.
I give the update of what we've been using, a group text for the baby, and they had pictures and all.
I'm still trying to get it in my mind, well, bird killing and childbirth.
I just took it as a sign, Phil, that I'd never, we've never shot a bull sprig in the first split.
I got you.
And then it happens to happen on the day.
And you had never been a grandpa.
I'd never been a grandpa. And this...
history was made.
This epic thing happens. I mean, I took it as a sign. So I thought, I will be known as Pawpaw Sprig. And then I could tell them the story. So I send the picture of the two. There was two drakes, and I was holding them up. And I said, I got the name. Because they're all talking in the group text.
But before you go any further with your story, you can't kill two, though. You can't kill but one. So
I kill one, but I took a picture with two of them. That's legal.
Oh,
you
I
can take a picture.
Somebody else killed
well,
the
yeah,
other.
Yeah. You can take a picture of, but I just thought it looked better if I'm holding them up. And I said, you. I got my nickname.
I didn't want to clarify that because we don't want to be known to.
I said, Pawpaw Sprig.
Pawpaw Sprig.
And so somebody put up, surely you're not serious. She was the only one that responded. The mother-in-law responded with a, surely you're not serious, which I didn't know what that meant.
So we have doubts from the kin folks.
I took that as a doubt when she said, surely you're not serious.
Yeah.
So I just.
So you're not, are you not going with it or
well,
what's,
so
what's
this
the verdict?
Well, this is what I told you that to lead up to what I'm fixed to tell you. here's what I learned during this process. When you're the mom of the baby and you have the baby, and then I think the time frame had something to do with it, and then less than 24 hours, you get in a vehicle and actually go to Thanksgiving dinner. What I notice is you become the authority on names, because somebody brought up what we're going to be called, and she just, I felt like I was in Dances with Wolves or whatever, and we had a conflict, and all of a sudden a chief comes out, which in this case is the woman chief, and she just started telling everybody what they were going to be called. So she said, you will be called Paul. And she just moved on. So I didn't want to say, well, what about Sprig? Because she was on that text. But it hit me that, no, you will be called Paul. She moved to Missy. This was funny. And she said, you will be Lulu. Because her middle name is Louise. And I guess it was a variety of that.
Yeah.
So I guess where...
So you got weeded out, basically.
Well, I'm Paul and she's Lulu.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Paul was a little boring. I kind of like Rock and I love Sprig because of the story with the picture. Yeah. I was going to show her the picture and say, this is why I'm called Papa Sprig. Yeah, you tried. I mean, we're at the bonding moment.
It fit like a glove. They just didn't see it.
Nothing. I mean, I got nothing.
Yeah.
So what am I going to say? I mean...
But these are women that had never even heard of a... Pintail.
Yeah, they didn't understand the word sprig.
No.
It made them nervous.
Sprig to them is a runaway little whisker on their chin or something. That's a sprig. Get rid of that.
And so the last thing I'll say about this, Missy tried the two sweet potato pies for the gathering, and she hit it out of the park. Now, there were probably 10 pies there. But those two sweet potatoes
And she received the know-how, and it's quickly a day before. They came down I remember her and Mia came down for the how to make the sweet potato pie.
Yeah, to me, that's the number one sign that you've become a grandma when you're interested in making pies.
Because she's mellowing.
So that's my story. We ate the typical dinner besides the sweet potato pies and Missy flew up 6 pounds of shrimp, and because you got to have some kind of Louisiana Cajun variety, so I fried some shrimp,
so she had those flown up.
Well, when they went up, somebody brought the 6 pounds
came with her.
I thought that was funny.
she's come a long way, man.
That BYOS.
I remember when rattling pots and pans was not her.
She's turned into a cook.
Yeah.
I mean, it
she's
took,
yes, she
it
can.
25.
Yeah, the last few feeds I've been at your house, I'm like, oh, geez, he's finally got it. That woman of his stirred up enough to
it
work.
It wasn't me, because I told her, you don't have to cook. I would love to do the cooking, but she wants.
That's a nice way of saying I'm not enjoying what you're cooking.
Yeah, she just didn't cook much when we first got married.
Your woman's a pretty good cook, isn't she, Zach?
Oh, she can cook, she's an excellent cook.
Yeah.
Yep. She does a good job. We had a big Thanksgiving dinner. It was good.
All right. Well, Zach, you preached on Matthew 21, which is where we're at. Did you do that because you were going to be on the podcast, or is this a sign from above?
It's a sign from above. We're doing... No, we're actually going through season of Advent, which is Advent means the arrival of a notable person, event, or something big is going to happen. And so, obviously, with Christ coming, so we're doing a 4-part series, and we went through the messianic prophecies, which there is one in Matthew 21. Real quick, before we get in, I did want to say this. I'm excited about this. So we've started this thing called it's a Substack for Phil, where we're going to put all of Phil's blogs that he writes, and also we're going to release free chapters of Phil's new book that's coming out, Uncanceled. So stop what you're doing, guys, and our audience here. Go to philrobertson.substack.com and sign up. It's free. It didn't cost anything. It'll show up in your inbox. All you got to do is enter your email, and you'll get these weekly articles that Phil's writing, and also you'll get some stuff on his next book. So go to philrobertson.substack.com. I wanted to throw that out there before we got in, because that's something new we're doing for people that will follow in our work here. But yeah, so we just went into the Messianic prophecies, and one of them is right here about this. It's out of the book of Isaiah in verse 5 about Jesus coming in and riding on a donkey. So, yeah, I think it was just divine providence, Jace.
All right, well, let's hear your sermon. I mean, that's where we're at. We're in Matthew 21.
Let's take a quick break.
One thing I realized this morning when I woke up, because I was so tired from being in Tennessee and then coming back and trying to get up and go duck hunting, is I just fell asleep on the couch in between my two little lap dogs. And when I woke up, I thought, I should have got up and went to bed because I got a really nice bed.
What kind of bed do you have, Jace?
I have a Helix bed, and I am happy.
A Helix sleep. Well, they say it's the best sleep that you'll ever have. And right now, they're offering up to $200 off all mattress orders. And you get two free pillows for our listeners here at Unashamed by going to helixsleep.com/unashamed. That's helixsleep.com/unashamed for up to $200 off.
So I woke up and thought I was in a dog fight.
The dogs were on all sides.
Yeah, they were nibbling at my toes.
Yeah. Before you finish your thing, just remember, I have to interject this. Beginning in Matthew 16 that we covered earlier, from that time on, after he talked about giving the keys to the kingdom to Peter, where he could open the gate to it, and Peter's confession of Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's who we believe you are. And after that, chapter 17, he repeated himself, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed to the hands of men. They'll kill him. On the third day, be raised alive. And again in chapter 20, verse about 18, we're going up to Jerusalem. This is three times in three chapters. We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. So I just say, whatever you're going to say, just remember, when he arrived riding on that donkey, which is a strange thing, he's come to die, Zach. He's come to die. That's why he came to the earth, to die, so that in him we could become the righteousness of God, as Paul would tell the Corinthians. So I'm just saying the whole context there, it's a sad thing. I mean, the celebration that's going on, and he's coming to die. And amazingly, the disciples and his followers, the Jews, for the most part, are trying to kill him. He's saying he's going to be betrayed, and the teachers of the law, the teachers of the law, they're going to condemn him. So when you look at it that way, it's quite the event to come riding up on a little donkey, and you're going to die, and the sins of the world will be lifted up off of you if you'll just put your faith in that. That's downright scary. You see what I'm saying? And humbling.
But yeah, that was really my lesson on Sunday, because you read through these prophecies of the Old Testament, which I would encourage anybody to do that. You start reading these, and they're so specific that it's like, you're like, how is it possible that these people who had spent their entire lives devoted to studying the prophecies in anticipation of the coming Messiah, and yet they missed it? I think you hit the reason why, Phil, is that, and this is what the point I made, because there's a interesting little passage. Let me see if I got it here. I think it's in Luke 24, when Jesus is dealing with these people here, and this is Luke 24, 25, verse 25 and 27. Yeah, I'm reading, by the way, from the ESV version. And he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe," big word here, "all that the prophets have spoken." So they had read the prophets, the Pharisees had, they were very educated in the Old Testament. They had read all these prophecies. They knew the prophecies. But Jesus made a point here that why did you not believe all of them? Like you chose the ones that you wanted to hear. And then he hones in on the ones that they missed, which is in verse 26. He says, was it not necessary, to your point, Phil, that the Christ should suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. I think what they missed, or rather the reason why they missed all these prophetic words, was because they could not comprehend a Messiah that would die.
That's right.
They couldn't comprehend it.
That's correct.
And so I think that's one of the things when you read, you know, you read this story of Jesus in his what's termed his triumphal entry. You know, it's this story of Jesus coming in as a king, and people are bowing down before him, and he's riding on the donkey, and they're putting out the palm leaves and all that. But that's not how things ended for him, as we'll see in a few chapters later.
By the time you get to almost the end of the book of Luke, in verse 46 and 24, what you quoted there in 25, you get on down there into verse 40, he told them, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures, because him dying, they just having trouble with that. But this is what is written, and he was going from what the prophet said. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and now he begins to clarify why. And repentance, in other words, I'm coming up on a donkey, but here's the reason. Because it was predicted that I'd ride up on a donkey, so I'm going to ride up on a donkey to save the world. I've come to die. So, and because repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name to all nations worldwide, beginning at Jerusalem, it's where he is, that's where this took place, you're all witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, talking about the Holy Spirit and in the book of Acts. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high, which that pretty well brings it all together on the reason he did it. Forgiveness, repentance, and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And that's exactly what happened. But boy, when he rode up on the donkey, he's still pre-death. They don't get it, Zach.
But don't you think too he did it because most people, when they become a king, they're coming from a palace.
They don't get it. They don't get it the way he did.
The best horse money can buy.
That's right.
And here you're like, come on, a donkey, and you're claiming to be the Son of God?
Yeah.
Yeah, even on a colt, a foal of a beast of burden was the prophecy from Isaiah. A beast of burden.
Isn't that a rock song?
This is not a.
I don't want to be your beast of burden. What was
that? I don't know.
Josh, he's on it.
Yeah, that's one of the rock and rollers came
I think
up with that.
That was
beast of burden.
Well, they got it from what, Zach?
They got it from one of the prophets.
It always comes back. Well, that was Zechariah 9:9 where they predicted this. But you know what I noticed?
Yeah, Zechariah. I said Isaiah. It was Zechariah. Yeah. That's right.
You know what I noticed? Well, I think Isaiah mentions it in chapter 11. Was it chapter 11, verse 1? That could be wrong. That was off the top of my head. But there's numerous, because Matthew does it. He tries to find numerous references where prophecies came true.
Yeah.
In which we don't talk about it much, but look, you want evidence that this is true? Because we know it is based on faith. God chose faith, and he explains that in Hebrews 11:1. But just looking up the writings that people found in caves, and they interpret it, or not interpret it, but take it in and put it into English. What is the word I'm looking for?
Translate.
Yeah, they translate it where we can understand it, but you're going back thousands of years. And so I started looking up when we were reading this before getting ready for talking about it. there's various verses, even in verse 9, where he said the crowds that went ahead of him and those followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Well, that phrase, "to the Son of David," which, by the way, is the same thing that in chapter 20, the two blind men that Jesus healed in verse 31, remember the crowd rebuked the two blind guys and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Well, this declaration of Son of David, when you go back and read what they're saying, it comes from what Samuel said in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. Just listen to this. It says, well, even in the second part of 11, 2 Samuel 7, it says, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring, son, and I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one for my name." This is the Lord talking. "And I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." Well, who do you think he's talking about? So that's why you start off with the genealogies in Matthew and Luke. I mean, these things seem boring until you realize, wait a minute here. We have a prediction. We have thousands of years. We now have a guy claiming to be that. And look, we got random people who were blind that had put all the pieces together. And first they said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Well, why? Because they think, here's the king. And now he comes riding up on
and
a
look,
donkey.
And look, the kicker is they were blind, as meaning they can't see.
Yeah.
But they, for him to deduct and conclude what was fixing to go, oh, they could see all right.
That's why he was saying, you need to see like them.
I think that's why he healed their eyes. So
exactly. Hold on 1 second, Jace. Let's take another break. So you're not going to believe what happened to me this past week. I get a credit card in the mail that I didn't sign up for. In fact, someone had stolen my credit and applied for several different credit cards. The way I found out, though, is not that I got the credit card in the mail. It was actually I found out on scoremaster.com, which is not why I signed up for the service. I signed up for the service because I wanted to increase my credit score. Did you know that even an okay credit score can cost you $100,000 over the life of like a 30-year loan? That's why you should use scoremaster.com before you apply to any loan. Scoremaster can take your credit score from okay to great very fast. It did for me. The average user adds 61 points in 20 days or less. A recent COVID surge keeps interest rates low for now. Adding 61 points to your score could save you thousands on your home. But those rates are going to go up soon. So before you apply, visit scoremaster.com and add points to your credit score fast. And you can use our code. You'll get 24/7 credit monitoring, which helped me identify identity theft before it got out of hand. And you get $1 million of fraud insurance. It only takes a few minutes to enroll. See your points, get more points, and qualify for the lowest rates. Visit scoremaster.com/Phil. That's scoremaster.com/Phil. And start today. Well, look at verse 9. Whenever they shout out to him, "Hosanna to the Son of David," to your point, and then there's a quote here from Psalms 118, verse 26. What they're quoting and they're singing this: "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now think about this. So this is what my point Sunday was, that like they missed the prophecy. That was a prophecy in Psalms 118, verse 26. That was written. But look at this. That's verse 26 in Psalms 118. Back up just about four verses to Psalms 118, 22. That's just a few verses before that psalm. And this is what it says: "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." So even in this whole, they didn't understand that the Messiah had to suffer. He would be rejected ultimately. And I think that's the point. It's easy to follow the guy who's coming in on it's riding high.
He's king. He's son of David. David was a great ruler. You know, he was the big dog in town. Like, it's easy to go with that guy. But when you start talking about being rejected, when you start talking about, you know, being persecuted, being pierced, being crushed, having the thorns on your head, the Psalms 22, that prophecy, that man, I don't want to follow that guy. The one where the king dies. I don't want to go with that. I think that's what they missed. They heard what they wanted to hear. They didn't see the whole thing until God opened their eyes, like Phil mentioned.
Yeah, and look, I'll tell you another thing that stood out to me in this story is that they came to Bethpage, you know, at the Mount of Olives. When we went to Israel, and somewhere it says the Kidron Valley. Where does it? And so we were there looking. Of course, that's where all the cemeteries are. It's just death. And you know, from these three peaks where the Mount of Olives were, you had a perfect view if you'd have been standing there when the temple was destroyed in AD 70. So you have all this death and destruction is going to happen here, which is why he's here 7 days before his death. Because now we got a time frame here, and you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and you realize why he's there. So through his death, he's now going to beat death and offer a way for hope. Yep. I mean, it's not just the prophecies, it's the location, which makes sense when you look at it like that. And you remember when they said that about the temple, where is that in John, where he said, if you tear this temple down, I'll build it back in 3 days. Well, they, you know, and it says they thought he was he crazy?
It took 46 years to build this thing.
46, yeah. And you're, so he's in the same location and he's making claims like that. And you have people who are now calling him the son of David, and you put all those pieces together and you're like, well, what's up with the donkey, though? Why a donkey? And I think that's why people, especially prideful people, have trouble putting their faith in Jesus, because they're like, I ain't following somebody who claims to be king riding up on a donkey.
That's right.
Because it just doesn't look right.
It was self-humiliation.
Yeah.
Self-humiliation.
And even how he got it, I thought, was powerful, because he said, go there, and you'll find a guy with a donkey, and you just tell him that the Lord needs it, and he'll send him. I mean, I want to be that guy with the Lord, you know, that the Lord needs it. Here. I mean, I think just somebody needs to do a sermon on that. The Lord needs it.
But, you know, it's interesting you'd mentioned the Jesus came to give us hope and to conquer death himself. But it's not just the conquering of death. It's also the implementation of life with Christ. It's being in his presence, which you'd mentioned the temple, you know, and very next, not that we can get into this now, but the very next part of this text is Jesus goes into the temple again and starts cleaning house. So there's a direct link between, you know, Jesus conquering death and the establishment of his kingdom, mm-hmm. and the development of a new temple, all of which is the end goal is that we get to be in the presence of God through Jesus and what he finished.
Look, I want to say something about that, because when I was studying that verse 13, it says, this is when he goes in and overturned the tables. But just in the context of what we talked about being the son of David so far, when he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Well, I went over there and looked where he said that, which is Jeremiah 7:11. And I was fascinated with chapter 7 and 8. And so let me just give you the high points here of what I found. Did I say it was Jeremiah 7:11? Thought I was in Jeremiah 7. Yeah. I thought I made some notations here somewhere. Maybe I didn't.
Jace, while we're waiting on you to find that, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, for all of our Unashamed listeners, I'm excited about this. We have started a Substack for Phil where we're going to be putting all of Phil's blogs. And some of these things are incredible, and they're very timely for where we're at in this cultural moment. So here's what you do. We're also going to put, by the way, some free chapters of Phil's upcoming book on the Substack. You may not know what Substack is. It's like a kind of like a blog, but we're going to send you email notifications. So here's what you need to do right now. Go to philrobertson.substack. That's substack.com. philrobertson.substack.com. All you got to do is free. You enter in your email, and then that's going to add you to our list. So every time we release something on Substack, you're going to get it. You're going to be in the know and know what we're talking about, what we're doing. So go check it out today. We're really excited about this and glad to have you guys on board.
Well, I think when I was reading in 2 Samuel 7 about Jesus would come from the house of David and he would raise him up, I kept reading. And watch the similarities that came later on in this location. Because here Jesus is on the Mount of Olives, right? Well, let's go back. I don't know when 2 Samuel was written, but had to be a few hundred years ago, possibly a couple thousand, right?
Yep.
Listen to what 2 Samuel 15:30 says. David continuing up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, his head was covered and he was barefoot. And you got to remember, there was a lot of conflict going on. And I'm just going to pick out different parts of this as we go through and watch the similarities. In chapter 16, verse 1, David had gone a short distance beyond the summit, and there was these people that I can't pronounce waiting to meet him. And look, he had a string of donkeys saddled and loaded with 200 loaves of bread, 100 cake of raisins, different cakes of figs, and a skin of wine. And the king asked, "Why have you brought these?" And is that Ziba? Answered, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on. The bread and fruit are for the men to eat, and the wine is to refresh those who become exhausted." The king then asked, "Well, where's your master's grandson?" And you skip down. He's staying in Jerusalem because he thinks today the house of Israel will give me back my grandfather's kingdom. I mean, don't you think this is weird that they're having a similar discussion? David's being persecuted. He's weeping. They come up on donkeys. And you say, well, let's continue. Verse 6. They start throwing rocks at David and all the king's officials with stones. Though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. And I know you can read this story on your own time. And it kind of gets, there's a cool part up here where this guy comes up to David and said, "Hey, you want me to go cut this guy's head off for throwing rocks, you know, at the king?" And he's like, "No." And then David says, verse 11 of chapter 16, "My son, who is of my own flesh, is trying to take my life. Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing I'm receiving today." Well, who does this sound like? You know, being persecuted and stoned and in the same area where Jesus is fixing to. And look, I didn't read that out of a book or whatever. I just read and I thought when they said son of David, and you see this similarity in the same place, and now here comes Jesus representing the Son of Man and the Son of God. I think those people who had heard that story were putting all these pieces together. how else would two blind men know that this is the son of David? And so when you start reading the history of this, which I mean, I know I did that in a hurry, but you can read 2 Samuel, then read Matthew 21, and you're like, oh, this is the same place. Well, it's, where all
it's
that
interesting because it's
amazing.
It's interesting because you think even the guys that got it right. I mean, a lot of the Pharisees didn't get it at all. Like they didn't see who Jesus was, even though they knew the prophecies. And then the people that did get it, they still didn't get it right. I mean, you think about Peter, who walked with Jesus. He obviously knew that Jesus was like the Son of God and the Messiah, the Christ, and yet he still didn't get it because when Jesus was arrested, yeah, he's still thinking Son of David. He's still thinking earthly kingdom set up. He's still thinking we're about to take it over. So he draws the sword and cuts the guy's ear off. So I definitely think, Jace, that they knew there was a parallel, and there was some people at least knew, particularly in this moment, knew that there was some kind of messianic prophecy being fulfilled. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been crying out Hosanna to him.
Yep.
But they still didn't understand the suffering Savior, and that's the part that Phil mentioned at the beginning. That why did he come? He came to die.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. You know, well, it's part of the gospel, and then obviously be resurrected.
So what I was going to say was I found that similarity in 2 Samuel about David. I mean, here's a king back then riding up on donkeys and being persecuted, and then most kings probably would have cut the guy's head off, and he's like, no. I mean, he did exactly what later on his Lord and Savior would do, which is forgive despite what's happening to him. And then the one in that was quoted in Jeremiah 7:11, I remember my point now. When that quote was said, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Well, look what verse 15 says of Jeremiah 7, which is exactly what you said, Zach. He said, I will thrust you from my presence, just as I did all your brothers. It wasn't about the way the house was built or what's in it or how they were conducting it. They were missing the presence of God. And the same thing was happening now, hundreds of years later, as Jesus, a week before his crucifixion and resurrection, which is why Matthew had that in there as a quote, why Jesus said that. So when you start making those connections, it is all about the presence of God where we meet. And all these places that, the Kidron Valley and that Bethpage, because I looked that up. I was like, what does this Bethpage mean? Which I think it means house of the Lord. Because there was a U.S. Open in New York, and the name of the course was Bethpage. So I thought, was that some kind of spiritual thing? But actually, I don't know why they named it Bethpage, but they got it, the term from there. But you're like, well, why are they spending so much time about the house of the Lord? Because if you fast forward to us today and you look at, take Hebrews chapter 3, which is one of my favorite passages. And the Hebrew writer was saying that Jesus is greater than Moses. In the same way that, David was a man after God's own heart, but Jesus was greater than David, obviously, because, look at some of the mistakes David made, and they're under the old law. But when you get to Hebrews 3 and verse 4, it says, every house is built by someone, but God is builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But verse 6 says, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And here's the key phrase. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So my point is, Jesus is fixing to not only fulfill the law, not only give his life for our sins to show that he has the power of the resurrection, but he's going to create a way for them to empower people through his Holy Spirit and have his presence dwell in people. way deeper, way more powerful than having a place built where you go and experience the presence of God. And they weren't even doing that. These people here you'd run up on, they just turned it into a way to make a buck.
That's why it's called a kingdom, the kingdom.
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, it seems this all seems complicated, but when you go look at the stories behind the verses, the Old Testament verses that Jesus was quoting, and you put those things together, it makes you kind of say, oh, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. I mean, the reason why people kept talking about the house of God, because if you want to go hang out with somebody, where do you go? You go to where they live. It was all about being in his presence. But you're right. The whole gospel is not just about Jesus saving us from our sins. It's also about the establishment of his kingdom and building a new temple, which Apostle Paul says we are the new temple and who the Holy Spirit dwells. So that was good. Well, we're out of time. Hey, two quick things, though, before we shut out here. One, again, go to Phil's Substack at philrobertson.substack.com. This is free. If you want to know what Phil's up to, if you want to get the free stuff, free advanced chapters of the book, go there. It's free. Set up your email. And then also, we got merch. We got T-shirts, hats, sweatshirt, mugs. They're all 20% off right now with the code UNASHAMED20. That's UNASHAMED20, and you just need to go to PhilMerch.com. PhilMerch.com, you can get the cups, the hats. Last year, I think our best seller was the Love Always Protect shirt, and we also have the Phil Beard mug that was a top seller as well. So go check it out, guys, and as Al would say, hopefully we'll do better next time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.